Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and I'm back doing another makeup episode of my show, trying to get back to where we left off before we go back to being weekly. Last episode I had to stop in the middle of a chapter because I was running out of time and I was going to get cut off. So, let's see, I'm just going to backtrack a little bit to where we were. And let's see, they were talking about gender roles in the Aquavon society. So here we go. Displaced by J.F. Jenkins. Continuing from where we left. In America, especially, we're raised to believe men are the stronger sex. Their job is to provide for the family, to be the rock during difficult situations, so on and so forth. In Aquavon society, women are given choice jobs over the men. They hold the family together emotionally, and that makes them more valuable. In a loving Aquavon home, both parents work together to make the family whole, but the woman has the final say in all matters. The man loves and cherishes her. She is never to be objectified sexually, that kind of thing. And my mind was blown again for the third time in just one day. It doesn't sound like something that should be hard to do, I said. Timber shook his head. No, it doesn't, but I can see how it'll be hard. Not like I have any intention of disrespecting you. It's just that, how do I word this? We've been taught to expect different gender roles, Paul said, and Timber nodded. The Aquavons understand this will take some getting used to. Small things won't be punished, but others will not be tolerated at all. If you work as a unit and have mutual respect for one another, it shouldn't be an issue. I have one more thing I need to discuss with you, and then we can move on to a happier topic. Okay. I rubbed at my arm slowly, feeling like I'd already done something wrong and pissed off these aliens who held my entire life within their hands. Timber's gaze moved off to the distance. Are those orange trees? Yes, Paul said with a slight nod. You'll find a variety of fruit. Go ahead, pick one. Tell me what you think. With a raised eyebrow, Timber walked into the grove of orange trees and picked a fruit. So, are you going to tell us what's going on? A moment passed and Paul didn't answer. To keep it from driving me insane, I concentrated on Timber peeling the orange and how his perfectly trimmed nails dug into the flesh of the fruit. Finally, Paul spoke. This is just my advice, but I will pretend to be interested in one another for the time being. Interested? As in... Both of Timber's eyebrows were raised. As in romantically, at the very least, attracted to one another. I laughed, because that wouldn't be hard for me to fake. For Timber, on the other hand, I'm pretty sure it'd be a stretch of his acting abilities. I'm sure this is amusing, but it's important, Paul said. I have a girlfriend, Timber said flatly. Paul shook his head. And we can see about bringing her here. This can be only temporary, but I'm giving you this advice as someone who's been with the Aquavons for a while. For your safety, Timber, you will want to pretend you are at least interested in one another. I'm not asking you to have sex or even kiss. Just share the bed you've been given and don't be afraid to at least touch. Act like a couple. Why? I asked, my voice shaking a lot more than I had wanted it to, but I couldn't help it. Acting like I was attracted to Timber was one thing. Sharing a bed and getting cuddly with another. I might have a heart attack and die if we spooned. It's because of the delicacy of the situation your race is in. Every person on this ship must serve a purpose and have a mate of some kind, especially if you are to remain in the more luxurious areas of our designated space. Paul spread his arms out as if to showcase the garden and the eerily perfect sunshiny day. Timber split the orange in half and gazed down at it. I'm not okay with being a breeding tool. I'm not asking you to be one. Like I said, it's for your safety. The Aquavons believe in love and mating for life. They have a sophisticated method of matchmaking called spirit testing. It's complicated, and it helps them to find ideal spouses while skipping all of the hard parts of dating. They're trying to be patient with the matches they've made for us humans. But if they think for some reason that she's disinterested in you, I'm not sure what will happen. Paul stressed the point. They would hardly ever blame her because she's female. She would have to abuse a child to be considered unworthy, which means it would fall on you. Best case scenario, they put you with someone else and let you try again. The worst, though, is you get placed with the other undesirables. It's not a place you want to be. They're undesirable for a reason. Those men and women are generally bad. I know you're not one of them. As punishment, you wouldn't be allowed to go back home again at the end of the trial period. A quiet whistle escaped from my lips as I exhaled a breath I hadn't realized I'd been holding. Yeah, no pressure there. Nope. I glanced over at Timber. He was still looking at the orange. After he swallowed, he shifted his gaze so that it was on me. Then he smiled. It won't be hard to pretend, at least, he said. Huh? I wasn't sure I heard him right. The attraction thing. It won't be hard to pretend, he repeated. He put his attention on Paul next. So long as we don't have to do anything uncomfortable, we can figure something out, right? I laughed, rather weakly, I should add. Right. Chapter 11. Chevelle. After our walk in the garden, Paul brought us back to the balcony. Are you ready to see the rooftop? He asked. I shook my head, just as Timber was about to say yes. He actually pouted at me and somehow managed to smile. Go ahead, I nudged him. You can show me around later. I could use some time alone. Are you sure? He asked. I nodded. Definitely. You want to come with me, Lara? He knelt down and touched the girl's arm. She smiled at him with such wide, bright brown eyes. It was precious. Paul's smile widened. The black button will bring you back to your unit. Once you start to make friends, you'll learn what the other buttons do. For now, just try to keep things simple. Your front door will now also unlock, but that hallway is not the best way to get around. Still, I won't stop you from using it should you feel the need. We rode the balcony back up to our place. I waved at the guys and Lara, wanting them to move on to the next site so I could have my breakdown. I could feel it coming on. The more I thought about everything Paul had told us, the more my chest tightened and my breathing became more labored. I needed to just cry and release everything inside of me before I imploded. And instead of imploding, I exploded. I fell to my knees and burst into tears because that was the only thing I could think of doing to make it all go away. Maybe if I cried hard enough, I could empty out every emotion, every thought inside of me and be stronger, be something more than completely helpless. I curled into a ball, hugging myself. How I would have given anything to at least have my mom there. If she was with me, at least things wouldn't be so scary. Not only did I have to take care of myself, but now Lara and Timber were both my responsibility. Like, things weren't weird or complicated enough as it was. Now I had to pretend to be in a fake relationship with the guy, just to make sure he didn't get outcast and miss his ticket home. And Lara, I figured was probably better off with us than with her mom, who apparently liked to abandon her, but taking care of her was still scary too. For now, she was a good, sweet, quiet girl, but once she got comfortable and the shock wore off, who knew what she would be like? Who knew what either of them would be like? Eventually, true colors would start to show all around. Don't get me started on the alien thing again. That, in and of itself, was still hard to wrap my mind around. I don't know how long I cried. The whole world faded away as I emptied myself on the living room floor. It wasn't until I heard the flushing of the toilet that I realized I was no longer alone. Hello? I croaked out. It's just me, Timber called out. Oh, man, how much of that did he see? It had to have been all of it and then some. For the first time, I was actually self-conscious of what I looked like in front of him. I combed my hair with my fingers, trying to blot away the tears from my eyes and fanned the ugly, puffy redness that was no doubt surrounding them. I slowly picked myself up off of the floor. When did you get in? I would say 10 minutes ago. Lara went to play on the playground and talked with some of the kids. Paul's going to bring her back in a little while. He stepped out into the main living area, took one look at me and sighed. Sit down. I'll make you something. I don't want to eat, I mumbled. Pretend you do then and sit down anyway. Reluctantly, I shuffled over and took a seat at the dining room table. He went into the kitchen and opened up the cupboard. I came in through the front door, he said quietly, because I didn't want to disturb you. I know we barely know each other, but you can talk to me. I hugged myself again. There isn't anything to talk about. When there is, then you can come to me. He glanced back at me, and I watched him heat some milk on the stove. We're supposed to be a unit, right? Part of that is relying on each other for everything. Noted, freaking out too. And the things Paul told us today? He shook his head. Do you think they're watching us? I guess. I hadn't thought of that, but I would assume so. How else would they know you slept on the couch, right? Exactly. And he said these Aquabans would be okay with us not having an intimate relationship. But if that were the case, why would you have to fake interest in me? The deep frown he wore on his face hurt my head. Not only did he look so sad, but it just seemed painful in general. He took in a deep breath and added in a little more than a whisper, I'm worried they're going to push us into something neither of us is going to want to do. Another thing I didn't want to think about. There's no doubt in my mind that Timber would be good to me. Hi, he was pretty much perfect. I lucked out hardcore. If push came to shove and I was indeed forced into sleeping with someone, at least I had the solace of knowing I was with someone who'd be careful and kind. But I didn't want it to come to that, and I didn't want him to be punished because I wasn't ready. Because I didn't love him. I certainly didn't want to make him cheat on his girlfriend and force him to be my sex slave. How degrading to him. Tears filled my eyes again. I did my best to keep them at bay. I don't know what to do anymore. Complying sounds just as scary as trying to run now. He walked over with a couple of mugs. I smelled chocolate in them. He made me hot freaking chocolate. Perfect. Seriously. His mom must have raised him right. As he moved past me, he gave my shoulder a squeeze before he went to sit in a nearby chair. It's going to be scary for as long as we're here, he said. True, I mumbled into my cup. One day at a time, okay? Uh-huh. Smiling, he brought his mug to his lips. I'm lucky to be with you. I wanted to scoff at the idea, but I held back. Arguing over something petty would not only make me look insecure and stupid, but it also was a waste of time all around. Still, I wished he would have seen that I was the lucky one. After all, I hadn't done anything for him. Chapter 12, Chevelle. Courtney is living with new parents, too, Lara said as she sat down in the living room with us. The sun had gone down, and we were getting ready to settle in for the night. Our little obscure new family was starting to actually feel like one. Then again, I'd always found something homey about everyone spending the evening together. All we needed was a fire in the fireplace. Does she miss her real parents? Timber asked. Lara shrugged. She said her new dad is nicer than her old one. I'm not sure if that means she misses her parents or not. Do you miss yours? Yeah, I miss my mommy, but I always do. Nodding, Timber sat next to her on the couch. Then I'm sure she does too. Do you think my mommy misses me? I gave her a rather weak smile. Yeah, I certainly hope she did at least. Maybe it would teach her how to be a better mother. Timber cleared his throat and lifted the remote off of the end table. How about we find something to watch? I bet we get a million channels here. The big screen TV came to life, and I was greeted with a brightly colored image of good, old-fashioned cartoons. I never thought I'd be so happy to see something so childish and stupid ever again. The channel changed, and some popular teen drama was on the screen instead. Instead of just picking something and sticking with it, Timber must have wanted to surf through all the channels because they kept changing. When the news appeared, he stopped. I'm pretty sure we were getting the signal from another country because an Asian woman was on the screen speaking a language I didn't understand. The headlines scrolling across the bottom of the screen were done with the Asian characters as well. So my guess was it was from Japan or China or somewhere over in that area. It could have been anywhere, really. I don't know what it was about, but Timber was frowning, so it couldn't have been anything good. What's going on? I asked. His frown deepened. I don't understand all of it, but from what I'm picking up, there have been a number of mass disappearances. So I'm wondering if something like what happened to us at the mall has happened elsewhere. Maybe these Aquabans have kidnapped more than just one area of people. That sent chills down my spine, but it made sense. If these Aquabans were truly acting in humanity's best interest, then they would want to take as many people from all over the world as possible. The Mall of Minnesota wasn't a selective case. Were there other Americans taken from other parts of the country? How many places around the world were hit? Timber changed the channel. Where was that report from, anyway? I asked. Japan. I know just enough of the language to get by, but I wouldn't call myself fluent in it. Are you fluent in any other languages besides English? German and French. I vaguely understand the other Romance languages, of course, since they're kind of similar. Maybe now that I have some free time, I can study up some more. He sighed and changed the channel again. More news, and this time it was in English. I wait for Timber to turn up the volume so we could hear it better. The man was anchoring on one of the major news networks. On the screen next to him was a picture of the ball. 152 people are estimated missing from a mall in Minnesota today from what authorities are calling a possible terrorist attack. Very little is being given about the incident, and the officials have not given out all of the names of the missing just yet. However, 10 people are confirmed as taken, one of them being teen heartthrob Timber Hudson. And, of course, Timber's picture came onto the screen in place at the mall, followed by a lovely package involving his personal life, where he grew up, what he was known for, all that stuff. Then a picture of his family came on, along with one of him and Talia. I snatched the remote from his hands and changed the channel. More news, and sure, it was fascinating, and I was curious about what was going on back home with the aftermath. At the same time, it was torture to be stuck up here and unable to do anything. Seeing pictures of my family and the person I was in love with would probably send me over the edge, too. The next channel wasn't any better, however, because on it was some kind of security video. Perhaps it was even real-time. On it were massive, tall people like the guy we had seen with the gun at the mall. These people were whipping and beating normal-looking sized individuals, Aquavans, that were beating humans. Immediately, I put a hand over Lara's eyes until I could change the channel back to the cartoons. One thing, or rather one person, kept me from doing so, however. The shaggy dark hair, the shape of his face, I even recognized the chiseled abs on his body. I guess. Wiccan.
Wiccan.
Sorry about that. The kids are being kind of needy today. All right, Chapter 13, Chevelle. Are you sure? Timber asked quietly, entering the living room once more. We'd just gone back to tuck Lara into bed. I looked up at him as he entered. Sure about what? It being Wiccan, that you saw on the television, I mean, he said softly, sitting down in a chair. Positive. There's no way I could ever forget his place or face or anything about him. He's one of those people who leaves a print on you for life. Timber whistled quietly and shook his head. Wow, that was intense to see no matter what, you know? I nodded, still not sure what to think myself. There was a lot for me to get past. Wiccan was getting beaten, being hurt, and I didn't even know where he was. These aliens who were holding us captive were the ones who were doing it to him, too. Were they planning on beating all of us, and it was just a matter of time? Paul had said that they didn't want slaves. What I had seen on that screen sure didn't match up to anything Paul had said to me. Unless, of course, that was what happened to the undesirables. Glancing at Timber, I noticed how pale he was, like the guy was actually turning a little green. I'd never seen that before on anyone. I couldn't help but wonder if maybe he was thinking the same thing I was. If he was deemed undesirable, would he be put into the same position? That was not something I was okay with. I couldn't stand Wiccan being there either. There had to be something I could do to help him. I just had to find him first. Do you think he's here? Timber asked quietly. Maybe. I mean, I guess that's all that depends on where the feed is from, right? He swallowed, nodding. I don't see why they would have security from that like that from another ship. Seems like kind of pointless to me. Are there other ships? Anything is possible at this point. You realize that, right? His gaze was so intense, I couldn't hold it with my own, because I might have crumbled or melted on the spot. Something about the determination he had was sexy and intimidating all at the same time. Scary, but man, and young, too. Any man on a mission was delicious, so long as the mission wasn't going to hurt me, of course. After a moment, his expression softened, and he stood. We should probably get some sleep. We'll look into it tomorrow. I bet Paul has some answers, you know? I hope so. I gazed down at my hands and sighed, standing as well. Good night, I added softly, and then slowly made my way to the bathroom. I took a few minutes to vent out some of my frustrations and fear. There was no way I was going to be caught crying again. Thankfully, the outburst of emotion was quiet and didn't last long. So, my heart broke for poor Wiccan. Still, my heart broke for Wiccan. Why was he being hurt? I wanted to put on my shoes and go searching for him right then and there. But who was I kidding? There was no way it would happen. I'd get lost and in trouble and possibly hurt myself. Tomorrow, I whispered, and hoped tomorrow wouldn't be too late. Bathroom business done, I headed back to the bedroom so I could curl up and at least attempt sleep. The idea still freaked me out. I mean, it wasn't my bedroom. Even if it was nice inside our condo, it wasn't homey or comforting. Anything could have been lurking in the closets ready to get us. When I saw Timber lying in the bed, Lara curling into his side, I stopped. Hmm? He asked, looking up at me briefly. My cheeks were growing hot, and I was so glad the lights were off because he did not need to see me blushing. I just forgot we were bunking together tonight. I promise I won't spoon you, he teased. Got a munchkin in the way. Oh, and I don't snore. Good, because neither do I said, and made my way to the other side of the bed. I crawled in and stayed as close to the edge as possible. I kick, though, he laughed. I roll, but since space is limited, I shouldn't plow into your territory. Sometimes I talk, I warned. Talking I can handle. Leah talks. I squeezed my eyes shut. The last thing I wanted to do was remind him of his girlfriend, whom he might never see again. Good night, Timber. Nighty night. Sleep came a little easier than it had the night before. And I'm going to stop here because the little one has decided to play with every single noisy toy in the house. And they're fighting. And I'm going to make a note that this is not a good time to do my show when they are both awake. So next time, I will probably be doing it earlier or later in the night when hopefully they'll be sleeping. And, yeah, we'll pick up from where we left off later. All right. Bye.